You're listening to the Monthly Money Makeover podcast, where Maya and Mapalo talk to the EBSA advisors and their contestants about their six-month Money Makeover bootcamp. You can also follow the journey with City Press, You Magazine, as well as Facebook at CP Money Makeover. So welcome to our final Money Makeover podcast, where we chat to our two winners, Katrine and Nonu. And Mapalo, what a journey this has been. What an incredible 6 months this has
been. Maya, it has been absolutely amazing. And to think that when the competition started, we did not know of COVID, right? Already we are talking about people who are having challenges with their personal finances, then add COVID to the whole mix. It has made it interesting, but very inspiring as well.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think back to when we started looking at the contestants, like where they were and where they are now. And I mean, hopefully people, if you haven't seen it, go watch the final. I'll put it in the podcast, a little clip to go and actually watch it, that our presentation where we follow their journeys, people like Meshack and Bella and Peter and Colin. And all of their journeys. But of course, we're here today with the two winners. And I think back, Mapalo, do you remember sitting at those offices at ABSA? Remember, it was the whole ABSA team, you and me, Tanzania Press team. We were sitting going through all the applicants and why we were going to choose them. And do you remember? Do you remember like Nono, right? Nono was our...
I remember very vividly. Actually, I still have a picture from that day. And I remember Catherine's story. I remember Nono's story. And one of the things for me, for Nono, was just how vibrant she was in her email, in her letter, you know. And she had like so many things going on. Like she's already a mom. She's about to get married. You know, all of these things that I think especially young people go through. And to get into a competition at the beginning of your marriage, I think for me that was like invaluable for her. And Catherine's letter as well. I think the one thing that came out very strongly is she desperately wants to get her finances together. But the challenge is they are not on the same page with the husband. And look where they are now.
So let's welcome them. Welcome, Catherine and Nono. We've got you both. Very, very exciting. And I must just tell you, all of the people listening and Mapalo as well, the two of these poor women have been subjected to videos. There is an actual formal video being done by ABSA. And they were just comparing notes before the podcast started. Catherine said she's still blushing. And Nono was saying she had to look lovingly in the eyes of her husband, which, you know, isn't always like that on camera.
On camera.
So what has the experience been a bit of being the winners, maybe? Nono, do you want to?
For me, I think the whole journey, Maya, has transformed my life in so many ways. And yes, I appreciate the winning and I'm super excited about that. But, you know, the journey has changed my life and the lives of my family members. I think that's the one thing that I really take from this competition. And that's one of the things that I said in the video when we were recording 2 days ago. For me, I'm inspired by how so many people's lives around me have changed because they've taken charge of their finances. And we've, as a family, we've been able now to talk about finances in a way that we've never spoken about it before. And it's brought us so much closer. There's this transparency, there's this ease, even amongst us as siblings, where one can say, this is what I'm budgeting for, this is what I'm struggling with. That's something we didn't have before. So for me, more than anything, more than winning, it's how this competition has transformed us as a family.
And Catherine, for you?
For me, I was really desperate. That first letter that I wrote, I was just so, so desperate. And 6 months down the line, and our family, my husband and I are on the same page, which really still is a miracle. We actually talk about finances every week, which is like, wow. I mean, in the past, maybe I could speak to him once a year about finances. The stress levels. I mean, we can laugh. We can laugh about money. I mean, who would have thought? I mean, for me, the impossible was made possible, literally, in 6 months. It blows my mind. I am completely astounded. I'm speechless about it. I still am.
And that comment about the 6 months, I mean, Mapula has been on this journey this year with me. This is my fourth year of doing it. And it is incredible to me, Mapula, what is achieved in 6 months. And it's just all of you, every single, you know, we unfortunately had to have two winners. That was the way the competition was. But every single one of them just transformed in 6 months. And I really hope listeners are listening, Mapula, because it's inspiring. I mean, how do you feel about it, having followed it this year?
You know what, Maya? For me, it's just made me want to reach for more. In terms of my personal finances, I thought, you know what, if all these wonderful people can transform their lives in six months, okay? It's absolutely inspiring. And I realized that I can do more myself.
I have to just tell you that my poor husband has to suffer the consequences of Money Makeover, because I always invariably go to him saying, we've got to cut back on this and cut back. And you look what Peter's doing, and look what Ron's doing, and look what Katrin's doing. All these people, and now we must implement. And he's like, oh dear, it's Money Makeover again. For me, it keeps me on track. But I wanted, Nono, to ask you around what I found so interesting in your journey, and I would like you to share that with our listeners, was this thing about that you actually had the money to pay off your debt. You just had to prioritize it. Maybe share with us that kind of lazy money that we sit with and we could be doing more with.
Yeah. So Maya, one of the things that Stephen and I started doing when I joined this, when I became part of this journey, is we looked at my budget. And as much as I was doing a budget before, it wasn't the way that I now do the budget. So before, I draw up a budget and a list of things that I need to pay for. And then whatever was left over was sort of like money in my account. And I feel good about the fact that I have 2,000 rand in my account, and I just use that money for expenses, you know, or to just spoil myself or do my hair even if I don't need to. And Stephen said to me, you know what, we need to look at how we can maximize this leftover money, or what I'd call lazy money, in your account. Because what good is it for you to feel good about the fact that you have 1,000 rand in your account, but it's sitting there doing nothing? So we redirected those extra 500 rands, those extra 200 rands towards paying off debt. I didn't even realize before that I had the money to make this happen for myself. I could have been free of this debt a long time ago. So that was liberating. And that's the beauty of having someone look into your finances, because sometimes you're too close to them that you can't really see what it is that you need to do to set yourself free.
And Katrin, did you have a similar experience? I mean, you were in slightly different situation. There wasn't extra money at the end of the month or anything for luxury. So you really had to focus very hard.
No extra money, and our family had to sacrifice. I mean, when we drew up the budget and we, for example, DSTV, it's 1,000 rand a month. We didn't have it. So we cut it off. So we had to live without it. That was just part of it. And what's so amazing for me is the family, my kids and my husband said, okay, if this is what we're going to do, then we're going to have to do it. So it was a lot of sacrifice. Hey, it didn't come easy. It is really, I wanted to say flippant, but it's hard work. Finances in order, but it's worth it. And because the stress, I mean, the stress kills. And our attitude, I'll never forget what Mai said to me. It's, Katarine, what is your attitude towards money? And our attitude was lousy. It was really bad. And now our attitude is positive, and it's just made such a difference in all areas. And just my husband's income, because his attitude and his respect for money has changed, money started coming to him. I mean, he's had a phenomenal month. I mean, COVID times, and he's doing well. I mean, and he's an artisan. I mean, who's got money for special stuff? And yet, God sending people, because his attitude and his respect has changed, which is, I just stand astounded, amazed.
I love that. It really is all about attitude. But no, you've had some amazing funds. I've actually learned quite a lot from you as well. You have a nappy fund, and you've changed how you are dealing with birthday gifts. How are you planning around that?
Yeah, life has been very exciting. When we found out that we're having a baby, the first thing that we thought of is, okay, we're going to need a nappy fund. We need to be the kind of people who are prepared for things. You know, things don't just happen to us. They happen for us. So immediately our attitude was, we're going to be excited about this thing, and we need to get in the forefront of this, how we're going to handle it. So immediately we opened the NEPI fund. And in addition to that, we said to our family members, instead of buying us all these baby gifts or things that we're not going to need, you know what? There's a NEPI fund. Everyone contribute towards that. So we redirected all their excitement towards the NEPI fund. And they understood that we're making an investment for the child, you know? So yeah, that's how we dealt with the NEPI fund. Also, we have a gratitude jar, which has kept us on track. Any extra money that we have, any extra coin, we put it towards a gratitude jar so that we are able at the end of the year to not only spoil the people who have inspired us, but we're also teaching ourselves how to value each and every cent that we have. So immediately when we get a 2 rand there or a 5 rand there, we're thinking gratitude jar, you know. So that has been very exciting in our household. So we try to play these games with each other where we make this money journey exciting and fun, you know. So yeah, for us, those are just some of the little things that keep us on track financially.
And and also your family Stokvel, Nono, that I'd also just really thought was a very clever idea, maybe, because I think it's a lot of people with the same situation where the end of year comes and everyone feels the strain, especially with extended family. So how are you using your family Stokvel?
Yeah, the Stokvel came about in March. We're already 3 months into the year, but we thought, you know what, we'll just chat to the family members and hear what they think. So we suggested to them, hey guys, how about we start a Stokvel together? Because at the end of the year, everyone is always so stressed about the family groceries. We need to buy each other gifts. How about we start saving together? How about we get on track with keeping our money, also paying off debt? And then everyone was like, we're in. We want to be able to save together. And at the end of the year, we buy groceries, we buy gifts with the Stokvel money. So at the end of the year, no one needs to be now frantic and where am I going to get this money from? We're going to use the money that we saved together. And for us, that has been so exciting because as I'm sitting here, our family has over 10,000 rand already. Woo! That's not money I would have had as an individual alone. But right now we have 10,000 rand. How amazing is that?
Wow. I hope everyone listening out there is going to start Family Stokvel right now so that end of year becomes a celebration and not one where you're trying to run away and hide because of,
correct,
of all the expenses that are coming. That's fantastic.
Now, Catherine, your issue was a little bit different. And I think a lot of people actually have the same issue. And the fact is, your husband was just not on the same page. You were not getting him convinced about managing your finances. And you said there would always be fights. It would always end up in a fight and people just feeling like, you know what, we can't do this. How did you manage to get someone like that on the same page and find yourself here?
With difficulty, but now I must just say that I think one of the breakthroughs was when we actually sat and did that really hard questionnaire and we realized we're on the same page. I think that made a huge difference. Our viewpoints were different, but we wanted the same end result. So when we met with Maya and Maya pointed out to be realistic about goals, about budgets, about what things cost, and the moment I started to, when we had a realistic food budget, my husband said, okay, now I can work with it because I'm being realistic. So I think for us, we never talked about money. We didn't fight about it, but I wasn't allowed to talk about it. Whereas now we could actually talk about it, like literally sit down and discuss things. And because I was being realistic, my husband said, okay, he's on board. And I cannot even start to describe what a relief it was for me that we actually started talking about money. I don't think anyone really knows how hard it is if your partner doesn't want to talk about that, because we made wrong financial decisions on assumptions because we didn't really know, because we didn't talk. And I think that's made a huge difference. The fact that we actually sat down put a plan in place, a budget, and put financial goals in place so we could talk about, okay, so how are we going to get to those goals? And his commitment has been astounding. He finally understood credit cards. We cannot live on credit cards. And the amount of money we've saved because we don't have credit cards. You guys, it's so fantastic. We actually, I almost want to say we have a second salary because we're not paying credit card debt. Amazing. So we've just learned so much, but our relationship, it's on a new level. The stress levels, but just my respect for my husband has grown like you will not believe. And I think his respect for me. And the fact that we face this, we actually address this really difficult, not talkable subject. And now that we've actually faced it, we are financially free in 6 months.
Yeah, I must actually add in there, Katrine, you were talking about when I met with you and Jan, and what we picked up from the conversations and from this questionnaire was that you had two such different money personalities. So we had on one level, and this is very important because you marry someone, but doesn't necessarily mean you look at money the same way. And you've got somebody who, Katrine is more of a control person. I relate to that, Katrine. So she wants to control and manage. And Jan was a lot more fatalistic about it. And the more controlling Katrine became, the more fatalistic Jan became. So we start to gravitate to our extremes, and we start to dig our own heels in. So it was kind of meeting in the middle. It was giving up some control. It was giving up some, and it was about that compromise, I think, about hearing each other, seeing each other, and then allowing each other to meet in the middle. And I think that is so important as a couple. And it was also interesting, Nonna, your experience, because when you guys came on, when you started, you kind of had done quite a bit of work. I was really impressed that you two had discussed debt, you discussed that. But you said even then there were conversations you hadn't had that you probably would never have had, had you not done this journey.
Absolutely, Maya. As much as we had attended some counseling before getting married, and part of that counseling was talking about finances, it was not to the level where Money Makeover pushed us to really discuss and really talk about what are your ambitions? What do you envision for us as a team, as a family? Because now we're no longer individuals. You know, this competition really forced us to really talk about how much do I earn? How much do I spend? And what are our goals? What are we working towards? As much as, yes, you go to work and you earn a salary, what are we working towards as a couple? You know, now with this competition, Maya, like next year, we're super excited about paying off one of our properties. This is something that we thought we will be able to achieve maybe in the next 5 years. Now it's a definite possibility because you know what? We've paid off debt. Now we have all this extra money and we're able to make our dreams come true. We're not waiting for the employment. We're not waiting for a raise. We're not waiting for anyone to come rescue us. We have made the decision that this is what we want to do with our lives. By taking ownership of our finances, we've liberated ourselves.
Sure. I love that statement. Not waiting to be rescued. Hey, Mapalo. What a brilliant.
No.
Yeah. Everyone needs to hear that. And it's not about being rescued. It's about your own action.
Yes, yes, yes. And I love the fact that she does mention that, you know, we didn't get a raise. We are using what we have. It's existing and we're just maximizing on that. But for me, just back to Katrine, when you look at the relationship that you've had and what you've been able to achieve, it seems like it just improved your relationship as well. You know, we talk about stats, when divorce stats, the fact that it's about money. A lot of people struggle to have that conversation and it pushes them to the very end. But with you, it not only transformed your finances, but your relationship completely, completely transformed. I think that's the case for both of you, Nono and Katerina.
I can only add not only my relationship with my husband, but also the relationship in the family with our children. Because now not one of us fear money anymore. I think we were all so fearful of money. And now money is actually a fun topic. We can actually talk about it and laugh about it and dream. I mean, We will achieve our dreams. And practical stuff. I think we learned so much through Money Makeover, the practical side of how do you get your finances in order. Because it's easy to say get it in order, but how do you actually do it? And I think that's amazing. The fact that because Jan and I could talk about it, and we got the advice from Maya, we could apply it. And I think that's the secret, not just talk, but applying it. And that it's hard work, but worth every cent. And then you have more.
And you mentioned there, Katrien, bringing the family in. And how did you bring your kids in? How did that? You also had some interesting opportunities, I suppose, to teach them about money. So maybe, because I think that's one thing parents always say, how do I raise a financially sensible child?
Well, with lockdown, a lot of people lost their jobs. And I'm very, very pro support local, because if you support local, you're saving people's jobs. So we got a local farmer. He sells guavas. So I bought guavas from him, and the children sold the guavas. We kept the prices low, but good quality guavas. And what's so amazing is when I got home, they sold over 300 punnets of guavas, okay? So I said, kids, you guys have to now sit, and I want to know, between you guys talk about it, but who worked the hardest? Like, what is the percentage? So they had to talk to each other, like, what is the percentage of work that they put in with selling the guavas? And what's amazing is they agreed. The one did 60%, the other did only 10%, and the other one did 30%. And then we split the profit in those percentages. So my kids learned what you put in is what you get out. Nothing in life is for free. It takes a price. And when you feel it in your wallet, you learn a valuable lesson. So the kids learned, yeah, they're learning wonderful lessons. I just have to add, my son, I just stand in awe. He said, so Mom, now that you won the money, I just want to tell you that we must act as a family as if we never received anything. We must just put it away. And that to me sums it up. They've been taught you've got to put stuff away, which is so cool.
Oh, that's fantastic. Not let's go to Disneyland.
No, he didn't say that. Not once.
Even my kids would have said it.
I would have said, let's go to Disneyland.
And Nonna, Kanya, you also have had, because you've got a 13-year-old daughter, and what kind of, how have you brought her along on this journey?
With Kanya, we're very open when it comes to finances, as with everything else. What we do with her is we take her shopping with us, whether we're shopping for groceries or for clothes. She knows we go shopping for clothes twice a year. So when we go shopping, she knows, okay, I need my list of things that I'm going to buy. Okay, Mom, I need to buy this. Dad, I need to buy this because of this. You know, she has reasons why she needs certain things. And those are values that we instilled in her so she can understand the power of money and the control that she has. Because when we go shopping, we don't just buy anything. We tell her, this is the budget that you have. So that she understands that there are budgets, there are plans in place. You don't just buy anything you feel like buying. You must have a reason behind it. If you need a hoodie, you must know how much a hoodie costs. And you must know that if a hoodie costs 300 Rand and your budget is 500 Rand, now you have 200 Rand left. Even when we're going shopping for groceries, we take her with us and we compare prices with her. So she sees us in action. You know, she sees how we value our money. So she also values her allowance that we give her. She always surprises us because as much as she lives and studies in KZN, she flies up every time during holidays. She surprises us because she'd say, okay, cool, this is how much I've saved, you know, from the money that we give her. And we love that because we put options before her. We say, this is completely your money. It's up to you how you use it. You can save it. You can give it to us to invest it for you. You can spend it. Completely up to you. So we give her the choice to decide what she wants to do with her money. And she comes to us and she says, okay, cool. Now I have 200 Rand. I'd like you to invest this 50 Rand for me. How much interest am I going to have at the end of the month? You know, we let her make the decisions. We don't force her to save. We don't force her to invest. We don't force her to spend. We say, you the boss, this is your money. What are you going to do with it? And I think having those kind of conversations has empowered her to be her own person and to be confident in the fact that she will make the best possible decision for her. So I think financial freedom is so much more than just, I don't owe anyone anything. It's also empowering someone to realize that I'm in control. I am in control of my finances.
Well, that's fantastic, Nona and Katrina. And I just think, yeah, we the biggest gift we can give our kids is actually to let them join our positive, hopefully, money journeys.
Katrina, it's been an incredible journey for you. What is your number one tip you can give to the listeners who have never thought that, you know what, it's possible to change your finances around just in 6 months?
Face it, embrace it, do your budget. Start with your budget. Financial thing, you've got to start with a budget. Be realistic and set financial goals. But small ones, you know, not impossible ones, reachable goals. And have bulldog tenacity. You've got to stick to what you put down on paper. You just have to stick to it.
I love that. I love what you say. Be a bulldog. And it's one of the things you mentioned in your past videos that, you know what, you just went in. I appreciate that. No. You've also had an amazing, amazing journey so far. What are your two or three tips to anyone listening to the podcast and saying, you know what, I want to get my finances together as well?
I think for me, what made all the difference and the tip that I share with my loved ones, number one, have goals. It's very important to have financial goals. Be intentional. I think as the year starts, sometimes we say, what will be, we'll see what happens. No. It's you're not going to achieve much if you have that kind of attitude. Be intentional. This year, I want to pay off my credit card. Because when you have a goal, it's so easy to start working towards the goal that you have. And the number two tip that was massive for me throughout this competition is the realization that I didn't need a raise. I didn't need a promotion. I could use what I have and maximize it to my benefit. So sometimes we undermine what we have. We undermine it because we think it's so small. It's not going to make much of a difference. I only have a 50 rand extra. I only have a 10 rand extra. But you never know how far that 10 rand will take you. Do not underestimate what you have.
Brilliant. I think that's such an excellent way to end off, because it is all about the first. And I think we, in the beginning, right in the beginning of Moneymaker, I think one of the quotes I used was, it's just the first small step. And even that, if that first small step is what to do with the next 50 Rand. So I want to say thank you to both of you and congratulations to both of you. And we are going to definitely follow your stories and see you grow from strength to strength. So thank you for joining us.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za.
Or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press personal finance pages.